Our class is every Sunday morning, so if you are interested in that, interested in following along with whatever it is that we happen to be doing on Sunday mornings, you can find them at this address, hillcrestonline.com/university, and then there is a link that says class recordings. Also, this week we hope to set up a podcast on iTunes. So if you happen to miss a class and you've really been interested in what we're talking about, feel free to follow along. Or if you're one of our alumni and you're not with us anymore and you find yourself in need of something to put you to sleep at night, then you can listen to my lulling, beautiful, dulcet voice, and which it cannot be described that way at all. But anyway, so hopefully if that is helpful to you, you can take advantage of that. So this morning is, usually classes are kind of like marathons, right? Where I try to take some time and really go through something. But today is going to be more like a dead out sprint, because we are in week three of a class that I had planned on only taking one Sunday or a Wednesday, to be point in fact. However, the more that I have looked into our particular topic, the more it's just like there's just way too much to talk about and way too much to try to share and try to get into. And so it's ended up taking a lot longer than I initially planned. So this morning I hope to bring to a close the discussion that we've had. If you have not been following along, or if you haven't been a part of our class, let me give you as brief a summation of where we've come from, okay? So you kind of are prepared for today. Today, what I hope to do is spend most of my time talking about what are some practical things that you can do to sort of maybe try to let go, okay? And so what we're talking about is addiction, but a particular kind of addiction. We all agree that addiction is bad, right? When we talk about chemical substance abuse as addiction, it's really easy to spot the tells, right? It's really easy to quantify or qualify what that addiction looks like. When it doesn't involve a physical substance, chemical type abuse, it gets harder. How do you know that you are addicted to certain kinds of behaviors, right? And so we've talked about some of that. We've talked about when an activity that you are doing becomes a negative, or takes a negative turn and begins affecting you or affecting others in a negative way, that is when you've crossed the line between something being just something that you're doing and it being really harmful. We talked about the six markers of addiction, right? The different questions that you can ask yourself to determine whether or not what you're doing is causing an actual problem. We are specifically talking about addiction to your phone. And I talked before about I really didn't want to lose you in saying that. And here's what I want you to think about, and here's my challenge for today. If you are in that position of kind of being a little bit scoffing at that, right? Or in the position of, yeah, but I'm not going to change anything. Or thinking this is just sort of a ridiculous thing to think about anyway, and you get to the point of the class where we start talking about here's maybe some ways that you can ease up on your use, and you're just like totally against that and don't think it's a problem at all or whatever, I would like to suggest to you that the strength of your feelings might indicate that it is a problem, okay? The strength of your feeling or reaction against what I'm trying to at least get us to think about might be an indication that maybe it is actually an issue. I started realizing that in myself, and I've actually made quite a few changes in my own life over the last couple of weeks, and honestly, it's been a lot better. So we've talked about that. We've talked about how addiction, spiritually speaking, is a twin brother or sister to idolatry, a thing that we are worshiping, right? Something that is in our lives that has a unhealthy hold on us, or something that we are holding up and placing on an equal level with God. Now, how do we do that? We may not think that we are doing that, but anything that has power or control in our life to make us unhappy, to make us miserable when we can't engage in it, something that we spend an inordinate amount of time on, which, if you didn't know, Apple collects your data of how much you use your phone, and they say that the average typical iPhone user looks at their phone or engages it 80 times a day. That is 30,000 times in a year that you are interacting with this thing. Now, if you are not also engaging God 80 times a day, then that is something that you are putting on the same level, right? And we're not talking about, I mean, this is like a real engagement, involvement, interaction with this thing. So, and idolatry is at the heart of it. It is a worship of something in your life, right? And we looked at Romans chapter 1, where it talks about sort of the heart of sin. And there's all these symptoms of sin, but the heart of sin is exchanging the worship of God for the worship of the created thing. The exchanging of worship of the Creator for the created. It's giving something power in your life and worshiping it. And then worship, as we talked about when we looked at 1 Corinthians 10, is the adoration of a person or thing. It is a ritual practice that is doing something to you, right? Worship of God should be a formative experience. And it's not talking about worship as we might understand it, like we all sit and when we face forward in the auditorium, we sing certain songs. And, you know, worship is time engaged with God, right? In personal prayer and study and reading. Sometimes it could be in there, right? But it's more than just that. It's the adoration of God, and it is transformative, and it ought to be formational. So idolatry is when we do something with something else that is that same type of thing, right? That we're giving it an inordinate amount of attention and hold in our life. And I'm going to come back to that in a minute. And so I would argue, and I have been, that our relationship with our phones has become or can be worshipful. Now, let me pause for a second and say, because I've heard a couple of these comments, and I said this in the very first class, and I want to say it again. I'm not a Luddite. I don't believe that we should, like, completely do away with technology. I mean, look what I'm doing here, right? So I'm using all kinds of fun technology. So I'm not saying that our phones can't be useful. Now, here's why I haven't said a single word about how our phones can be useful or positive. You do not need to be convinced of that, okay? So I don't need to spend any time on that because you are already there. We are already using these things and are engaged in them, and I don't need to tell you what the positives are. You know those. But because we have such a strong negative reaction, I feel like we do have to spend time thinking about the other side of this. Because if I, like I've said this before, but if I spend 10 minutes or even 5 minutes saying, here are some of the positive uses of this, and then I spend, you know, three class periods saying all the negative stuff, you'll go away going, he said that phones were really good and it's really great and I should just keep on using them, right? So that's why we haven't spent a lot of time talking about that. All right, and so here's the other thing I want to point out. As we've tried to go through this, I've also tried to be fair that this is not just a teen college student problem, right? A lot of times you guys get the extremely bad rap for this. There's a lot of statistics, as I mentioned last week, that show things like once the ownership of cell phones in America passed 50%, teen suicide increased exponentially. That studies are showing that teens are spending less time with their friends and more time in their room by themselves, and they are seriously, seriously unhappy and mentally unhealthy. However, there are also a lot of studies that are showing how families are degrading as parents get more and more involved with their cell phones as well. So this is not just a faith issue. This is becoming a secular issue as well. All of the research that I've been doing on this all comes from, and I'm going to mention in a minute, all of these secular journals. And here's something else that I think is really great. So I want to show this to you.
I'm not hungry.
What's wrong, sweetheart?
I miss Daddy.
I know. We all miss him.
I miss him more.
Oh, no, I miss him the most.
I miss him a lot.
No, more.
I miss him so much more. Hey, everyone shut up. This filter makes me look like a cat.
Funny, it's making me cry.
So, sweetie, tell me about your day.
Well, today, actually, I was driving to the grocery store, and I saw a dog.
Oh, you saw a dog?
Daddy, put your phone in the basket. The
basket's so crowded, though.
Just put it in.
Oh, wait.
Put it in the basket. In the basket.
Put it in the basket.
It's an easy thing. Just put it in the basket.
Please put it in the basket. All right. locked.
As long as it's in the basket, though, I can technically still touch it, right? Like. Guys, honestly, 5 more minutes.
Has anybody seen those yet? So Will Ferrell has paired with CommonSense.org to make a series of these public services announcements that are designed at even talking about like how much of a problem this is causing in our families. And I told you about the friend of mine who realized he was having an issue when his kids were drawing pictures of their family and he always had his phone in his hand. And we're talking about like five-year-olds, right? So this is not just a us problem. This is a all the folks on the edges problem too, right? We are giving so much control and so much attention to these things, and we're not. And the problem with it is we're not even realizing we're doing it. It just becomes a natural response. I realized it was a problem for me when I was getting to watch the Colts play football, and I never get to do that, and I spent the whole time just constantly grabbing my phone to check it. And I realized I'm missing out on this experience simply because like I might be anxious about the outcome of the game or something's going on. I just got to distract myself and numb myself to what happens to be going on around me. So this morning, real quick, I want to share a few more of the things that I think are happening to us, and not that I think, that research that's being done to show some of the negative consequences of this sort of compulsory, impulse, excessive use, and over-reliance that we have on these devices. So I'm going to go through this really, really quickly. And here's the thing. If you are interested in any of the stuff that I'm talking about, any of the research that I'm looking at, I have books and copies, and I can send you all these articles and all this sort of stuff. So if you're interested in looking at this even more, please let me know. But cognitive scientists have started asking the question, what happens to our minds when we allow a single tool so much dominion over our perception and cognition? So cognition, right, is how we think. Essentially, they found that not only do phones shape our thoughts in deep and complicated ways, but the effects persist even when we are not using them. Okay, so I've talked a lot about the stuff that happens when we are constantly using them and they're in our hands, the distraction features, that we can't walk and use them at the same time, that you can't have a conversation with someone and be on your phone at the same time. Your brain is not physically capable of paying attention to both. But what this is showing is quite possibly even scarier to me, because this is showing what happens or the effect that our devices can have on us even when we're not using them. But just because we have trained ourselves so much to rely on them and to be on them and to respond to them whenever they ding or buzz or call for our attention, that there is something going on behind the scenes. As the brain grows dependent upon this technology, all of these studies are showing it is weakening your intelligence. It is weakening your ability to problem solve and think critically about stuff. So Dr. Adrian Ward is just one of these guys. He is a professor of marketing and cognitive psychology at University of Texas in Austin. And he's published, and his team has published numerous articles. And all of these, by the way, have been replicated. So in science, right, nothing is real until a bunch of other people could do it too. So everything I'm about to share with you has been done by more than one team. Published in journals like Experimental Psychology, Journal of Computer-Mediated Communication, Journal of Association for Consumer Research, Social Psychology, Applied Cognitive Psychology, Journal of Science, and okay, you get the picture, right? A bunch of really reputable people are saying this stuff's okay. So here is a summary, real fast, of what's been found. When your phone beeps or buzzes while you're in the middle of a challenging task, your focus wavers and your work gets sloppier, whether you check your phone or not. Because there are things and processes in your brain that are actively trying to suppress your interest or your engagement in whatever may have happened that you don't know about. And so it's taking your focus away from whatever you're doing. When you hear it buzz or ring and are unable to answer it, studies show that your blood pressure spikes, your pulse quickens, and your problem-solving skills decline. One test gauged the available cognitive capacity, which is a measure of how fully you can focus on a task, and another test gauged for fluid intelligence, which means your ability to interpret and solve an unfamiliar problem. The only variable they used was where the phone was located. So if students had it in front of them on the desk, they posted the absolute worst scores. Bottom. People who had it stowed in a bag or a purse came somewhere in the middle. And people who left it in another room entirely had the absolute best scores. So this was they did a control test, right? So everybody did relatively well in a control test. And then when they added these variables of where your phone was located, these were the results they found. And a second test produced similar results while also revealing that those who relied on them more heavily in their everyday lives suffered a greater cognitive penalty. So essentially they found that as the phone's proximity increased, brain power or the ability to focus decreased. That's pretty crazy, right? Even when you're not using it, it's causing you some issues. Another study showed that the integration of a smartphone into daily life diminishes mental skills like learning, logical reasoning, abstract thought, problem solving, and creativity, because they found that just suppressing the desire to check your phone, which we routinely do throughout the day, and when we're in moments where we can't, it debilitates our thought processes. Another test examined 160 students at the University of Arkansas and found that students who did not bring their phones to class got a full letter grade higher on tests of material presented than students who had their phones with them, even though they weren't using them. So just the presence of something demanding your attention and you having to suppress the desire to just grab it and just use it is causing all these issues. Relationally, they did a study to test for affinity, trust, and empathy, meaning they put people together, had them ask a series of questions of one another, and then took a test later to determine affinity, trust, and empathy. And they found that the mere presence of a phone inhibited development of interpersonal closeness and trust and diminish the extent to which an individual felt empathy and understanding from or for their partner. So what does that mean? It means that just having it with you inhibited your ability to actually pay attention to the person across from you. So later when they tested, like, how much did you actually hear this person? When they asked their partner, how much did you feel like they were actually paying attention to you and giving you their attention? Just the mere presence detracted from that experience. People who didn't have these present at all felt a greater level of empathy. They could remember a whole lot more about the conversation and what the other person was thinking or feeling, all sorts of things. I could go on and on and on and on and on, and I kind of have. So I want to stop there, and I want to spend the rest of this short amount of time that we have thinking about what do we do. So here's a good test. If you kind of still are feeling like in that position of, this is not for me, this is not, I don't have an issue, I don't have a problem, I want to suggest trying a text detox to see what happens. To try to go through a process in which you limit your use. Like, think about how much you're actually using it and make a plan of how you're actually going to pare back the amount of time that you're on your phone and see if it causes you any anxiety. See if it causes you any issues. Now, I'm not talking about like, oh, I got this, I'm going to go to class today. You know, I'm not talking about like when you're in class and you're not supposed to be on it, but those moments in which you find yourself just mind, like at the grocery store, in your car driving down the road, because it's still happening even though it's against the law, and I start honking at people who are doing it, and I wish I could like make a citizen's arrest. Do you wish that? So I'm like, I got my kids with me, guys, get off your phone, I don't want to die. But those moments in which you would probably be doing this. Now we're running out of time, so why don't, good, bless you. So what I want to do is I want to show you two quick videos, and then tonight in your life groups, I'm going to email out some new material. So life group leaders, make sure you check your email this afternoon. I want to email out some new material. I actually came up with a tech detox. So like a plan that you can follow to actually see like how much is this really controlling me. I want to send that out to you, and I want to have you discuss it in your groups. One of the biggest points is intentionality, and don't just reduce, but replace. So don't just take something out and not do anything else, just sit you know, but replace it with some other healthy activity, like engaging a friend or maybe praying or doing something else, right? But I want to show you two quick things. One of them's not quick. Of the benefits of getting rid of it, and maybe here's one suggestion of how to get rid of it. I asked him this morning, and that was 100% his real phone. 100% his real phone. So, yeah. Corey has offered me his services to any of you who would like to follow suit. So if we ever have a night where I'm like, hey, we're going to have a phone basket tonight in class, and then you see that basket disappear and Corey and Tim walk out the door with it, you might want to go chase them down. I thought that was great. They sent that to me the other day. Corey sent it to me too, and I was like, why didn't you follow along?
One of them had to be able to video.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a question. What did he say before?
He was tired of it interrupting while he was hunting.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah. All right. So now I want to show you this. I've been trying to get to this for a while. Ellie was not able to be here this morning. She was traveling. But she came by the office, and I had sent her a series of questions. And what you're going to watch is her responding to those questions. And she does a great job just kind of talking through. But as you know, she has made the choice to go to a old school T9 style flip phone, right? So where she has just completely gotten rid of it. She doesn't do social media. She doesn't do any of that anymore. And I thought it'd be really cool for you to come by and tell us, what has your experience been like? What has been the drawbacks to it? What have been the positives about it? What have been the hardest things about doing this? And what would you say to encourage, you know, anybody else who's thinking about this? So I want you to watch this. And then once this is over, we'll be done, and we'll say a final prayer. And CD, I'm going to ask you after this video is over just to pray us out, because I think this is going to take us all the way to the end of class.
Yeah, whenever you're ready. The top two reasons that I decided to change from a normal phone or a smartphone to a flip phone is because the first one was like constant apathy that I was noticing around me. Like, so I'm in social work and I'm learning about these really crazy things, and then there's like random natural events that are happening that are really bad, and like people just seem to like be really numb to them. And like one thing that happened with with the shooting in Las Vegas, I like was with people all morning, and then I got on the internet and saw like around like 1 in the afternoon that happened, and no one had said anything. I feel like that's like not really the right response. Like, I feel like we should be like freaking out and like talking to each other in person and being like, did you hear that this happened? But instead, no one was really saying anything, and so that really bothered me. But that was after, I don't know. I think, so that was the first reason, just like a response to the apathy around me. And then the second one was like, I guess more of a grasping on my part at trying to be a better human being and like live outside of my phone and live outside of like what that stands for. Like, I've noticed that a lot of my interactions have been more meaningful, like just like having my eyes open in public places instead of just staring at my phone. Or like, I told Justin that I feel like it's like living my life without training wheels, so if I like fall over, like I'll just like crash now. Like, so if I like get lost now, like the biggest problem is that I don't have like a navigational system on my phone. And so, but I think like part of being a human being is like getting lost and like learning how to be found again. And so that's like a hard part, but I think that like messing up is part of being a human being, and having a phone to like as like a safety measure is not, it's not making that happen as much. The hardest part for me has probably been like other people that aren't on board with it. Like, I'll notice that it's like, if you've ever done like a social media fast, it's kind of the same as like, oh, like everyone's on social media and I'm just like not on social media right now. And so it feels really similar to that, in that I'm like, what am I going to do on my phone? Like, there's no games, or I could like type notes, but type each button a bunch of times and that wouldn't be fun. So I just have to like sit around a lot of people a lot of the time that are playing on their phones, and I just like want to like yell at them to like wake up and listen to me, but I don't, because that's true. And so that's like the most difficult part for me. It's not even like getting lost or like having to be more prepared. Like, I can't just like show up at a cash register without enough money and be able to like transfer it over really quick. I just have to like be prepared, and I have to like, yeah, make sure I have money for gas. Or like, that's a big one for me because I'm irresponsible. And then, yeah, the navigation thing. But I really just want people around me to like also be taking like steps towards being engaged with me, because I can only be so engaged with them when they're not reciprocating that. So I don't think that it really bothered me having a flip phone until, like, at first it was kind of awkward because I'd be like in public places and not on my phone, and like, I did feel like it just felt a little different. And then like, if I got my phone out, like there were a few times I was like nervous, so I just got it out, and then people like stared at me because I had a flip phone and it wasn't like a normal phone they're used to, so I'd rather just not let them see my phone. And so that bothered me for like a week or a week and a half. I remember right after I got my phone, I went and got, my mom wanted to get pedicures, so we went, and she was on her phone, so I was just sitting there, and everyone gets on their phone when they get a pedicure for some reason, but the lady next to me wasn't, and she was like probably like 50 something. She was just having this conversation with me, and it was like this really good conversation. I was like, okay, like this is why I did this. And so that was really reassuring. And so now it's kind of like, now I don't really feel as self-conscious about it. It's more of like being frustrated with other people that are on their phones, or like having these expectations for them that they don't know about, and that's not fair to them. So that makes it hard. And just like seeing how other people are like numbing themselves. Like on campus, they're like not like looking up and seeing like the light shining through the trees, or like, I don't know, they're just like staring at their phone and walking. And I think a big part of why I decided to change is because I like have a lot of thoughts about how like pain and sin manifest in us, and I think like because our culture is so apathetic, a lot of the time it manifests through like social media and like clocking out of where we are and just like numbing it, like we just numb pain into oblivion, and that really bothers me. And so I like notice that a lot in people now, is just them like numbing themselves, and like which like I don't expect everyone to be like on a high, like feeling everything all the time, but I do think there's something to like feeling it a little, and like making the choice to engage in their pain. And
just thinking about
it. Yeah. It's real time. She actually paused.
That's so funny.
It was a tough question. Before Anthony, just talk to them. Like, ask them questions if you want. I'm okay. So that's like a thing that is still difficult. But then, like, on the flip side of that, the biggest blessings that I've had from that are like I feel like my like senses have become more engaged around me, and like I'll notice like sometimes like older people have like more inflection in their voices, or they're just like more passionate, and I like pick up on that a lot more now. And I notice people who are like on their phones, or like their voice is kind of monotone, and like, and I have a monotone voice, but I like really notice that in people, and they're like, you can tell when they're passionate about something, and like when something makes them come alive. And so that's like a really big blessing. And just like noticing too, like how like little things like the light shining through the trees, or like how like the wind feels on a like cool autumn day, like that's like a big deal to me. And like I like love walking to class because it's like all these like senses are coming in, it's like so beautiful. And then I see people on my phone and I just get really irritated by it, because I want them to like be experiencing the world that way too. Like, it's so beautiful, and but we're like taking this like act, we're like acting in this way that's gonna like numb it on purpose without realizing it, maybe. But that just is like a shame. And that's the other thing too, is I think that like Justin asked if I thought that my phone use was an issue before, like in hindsight, and I think that I think it was, but not in that it was like, I don't feel like it was keeping me from anything, but I think it was like maybe just like numbing my senses and like numbing who I want to be and like just like putting up these like blocks in my way that I didn't realize. And like I was like getting like out of shape as a human being. Like I was getting really out of practice with like how to engage in the world around me, and like I didn't feel like comfortable being in social situations, like in like waiting in line. That's like the biggest one, is just like waiting in line is really awkward when you can't stare on your phone like everybody else, stare at your phone. And so that, like learning how to like get back in shape that way, and like just be okay with like sitting in silence or like sitting in a moment and not feeling like you have to be like distracting yourself, because it's going to freak other people out if you're just like sometimes I noticed yesterday, I was talking to my friend and she was like doing something, and she's like, why are you just like, what are you doing, like why are you staring at me? I was like, what do you want me to be doing? Like, I'm paying attention to you. I mean, just play on my phone so you don't have to like feel the pressure of me, my presence. I don't know, that was a weird thing. But I think it can be really good for like just like relearning how to just like be, and relearning how to like engage with ourselves and with other people and like all the things that are like going on within us, and just like appreciate that more is really how I feel. And it's not like, I also don't think that phones are the only way that we're numbing our pain. Like, we're doing it. Like, I sometimes just like eat a lot of food so I don't have to like feel certain feelings. And so I think it's just,
all right, CD. Yeah, if you see Ellie, thank her for sharing her story.
That's pretty good. Father, we thank you for today. And Father, we thank you for our guests and our visitors and for those who we know that belong to our community of faith here that have come back to see us, who may live away, but they still are very much part of our hearts and of our faith journey. Pray for them and thank you and for them, and please protect their faith and bring good people into their life, Father, that they can have good relationships. And we thank you for the parents and those other guests that we have this morning. And now, Father, all together, we ask you as our Lord that you would help us to submit all technology under your Lordship. We ask, Father, all of us ask that you'll help us to be your servants, to be submitted to you when it comes to using our cell phones. Father, we know that you've created us to be social beings and to want and enjoy to interact with each other. Please, Father, give us wisdom and discipline and surrender to you when it comes to using great devices of communication. Father, we love you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. And the class says,
Amen.
Yeah,
I'm how y'all are running body.
Running it through Apple TV.
Okay. Because I have for the recording.
I've just been doing